It's The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, and back to the city of Houston now in our ongoing coverage of Hurricane Harvey. Houston is a sprawling city. It's the fourth most populous in all of America, with actual boundaries covering more than the state of New Jersey. Now, Houston's not in Louisiana, but still, it's called the Bayou City. That's because of the 10 waterways that wind right through it. But with that charm comes a lot of risk. The city's main water artery is called Buffalo Bayou, and it's expected to crest 14 feet above previous records by the time Harvey and its rains have retreated. Here's Bennett Teer again. He's the Houston resident who you heard from at the top of the show today, who was forced to evacuate on Monday.
There's several bayous that run all through this part of Texas. And when you get that much rain north of us and on top of us, the bayous are soon just inundated. And the water has really nowhere to go. And there's a lot of choke points where the water finally gets together and then goes out in the Gulf of Mexico. And they're just overwhelmed right now. So any amount of rain we get, it's trouble.
And it's not a new problem in Houston. Storms over the past few years have raised alarms among scientists and engineers in Texas. They warn that Houston wouldn't be ready for a storm like Harvey, and certainly not for a storm that's worse. Phil Bedient is an engineering professor at Rice University and co-director of the Severe Storm Prediction Center. Phil, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
I was reading some facts about Houston. It sits an average of 43 feet above sea level, I learned. But describe the landscape of Houston and all these waterways we're talking about and how an engineer like you looks at them.
Well, Houston is very, very flat. It literally is probably one of the flattest major metropolitan areas anywhere, certainly in the United States. So we have a drop or a slope that is less than 1 foot per mile. And because of that, we have very slow draining systems. And of course, we also get lots and lots of very intense rainfalls. We have mostly clay soils. And we have very, very rapid urbanization that's taken place, especially over the last 25 years within the city. So all of these sort of combine together to create a, if you will, a perfect storm for flood problems.
And it seems like you and other engineers knew that. Last year, well before Harvey was on anyone's radar, you said that Houston was a sitting duck, ripe for a destructive storm just like this. Why did you say that?
Well, I've been looking at these problems for many, many years, and I started at Rice literally more than four decades ago, and I've been watching these floods for many years. And we're just in a situation where if you get an extreme amount of rainfall, as this particular event brought. Now, of course, we've had that before. We had very extreme rainfalls with Tropical Storm Allison back in 2001, which was actually a very similar event to this one, except that in this case, it just sat and didn't move and just pumped water in off of the Gulf and dropped, in fact, more than about 24 to 30 inches of rain over the entire Houston area, all of the bayous, the entire county, and even some counties nearby. And so you put all of that water in any major metropolitan area, I don't care where you are, you're going to have flood problems. There's no way to design a system to handle that much water. It's well above a 100-year design level, and that's typically what we design to.
And that design is a critical question. I understand how difficult it is to have that 100-year outlook, but you described Houston as a big, flat pan with clay so it doesn't drain well. Talk about design a little bit. Is this a major flaw of human engineering here in Houston, or was this the best that people could do over many, many years of a city growing outward?
Well, that's an interesting question. Actually, there are ways to have done a better job on Houston if we had started early on. We learned a lot about urban runoff over the years. We started to really come out of that in the 90s and post-Tropical Storm Allison. But the problem in most of Houston, it was a day late and a dollar short in that most of the developments were already in close to the bayous. There was very little room for expansion of these bayous. And more importantly, we didn't have the room upstream to put in reservoirs to catch that water at the upper end of the watershed. We only have two of those in the city. Those are both on Buffalo Bayou, but they are being stressed beyond belief, again, due to Harvey.
So let's talk about solutions, and I know how difficult they are in a city as big as Houston and as sprawling as it is. Walk us to your whiteboard for a second, Professor Bedient, and walk us through some of the possible solutions in a city as big as Houston that could help it avoid floods or to drain faster in the future.
Sure. And there are examples around Houston where they have done, a better job using better policies, better flood control policies, putting in more green space, allowing more room for the rivers to flow and the bayous to flow. And, you know, to the north and to the west of Houston, there are examples where, in fact, relatively minor flooding has occurred during these major events of Harvey. But to now go back in and retrofit, that's the difficult task. So we're talking about really having to get much more serious with buyouts of houses that are flooding over and over again. And so there are many areas where these buyouts should take place. And then those areas should be turned into detention ponds. We should also be considering pump storage detention. By that, I mean just like they do in South Florida. We're so flat and the drainage is so low in many areas that we could consider the idea of actually holding some of this stormwater back and then pumping it out at a later time. Right now, there are very few pump storage systems anywhere in Houston.
So, Phil Bedient, we've talked a lot about engineering, and before we let you go, I just want to ask you about people, because we always hear these stories of the scientist, the engineer, screaming warnings when everything seems fine, that everything might not be fine. Is there anything we can do to convince policymakers, convince all of us as people, to heed warnings like yours sooner? I mean, what's it feel like to know that you were yelling this in some ways and that people didn't react?
Well, it is disconcerting that we have not done a better job of this in the Houston area. We've done as well as we probably could do during this storm in terms of responding to it. But the idea of fishing thousands of people out of high water is a difficult proposition. But it doesn't mean we shouldn't be very proactive in trying to address this problem for the smaller storms, the 100-year storms that seem to hit us and have hit us almost every year in the last couple of years. So in that regard, you know, you look at the scenes on television and it's very disconcerting and very, you know, I mean, it leaves me with a sense of great sadness that a smart city like Houston, where we're medical leaders and we are space leaders and all of that, we need to do a better job of putting green space and green infrastructure back into the fabric of the community to help alleviate these problems.
Phil Bedient, engineering professor at Rice University and co-director of the Severe Storm Prediction Center. Professor, thanks a lot.
You bet. Thank you for the call.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.